we had a different level of risk tolerance than the other members of the second GP team. We also had $100,000 on the line. And so we weren't willing to walk away from it. But I mean, it was scary. And the fear was that we were going to pour another 75, because each extension was 75, that we were going to keep pouring in and perhaps still not get the deal. And so we were talking to our mentor almost daily. We were talking to all of these people trying to get this thing moving. And it was one night during a team meeting that one of the GP team members said, "I think the universe is telling us to run." And so the rest of the team ran.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Angel Williams began her personal real estate investing journey in 2003. She is a co-founder of the Academy Presents and a managing partner of Loren Capital. Angel, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Hey, the pleasure's mine. Same three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? How did you get there?
Holy night. Where do we start? So my husband and I both grew up in families invested in real estate. We bought our first home in 2003. It became our first rental in 06, 07. We never even discussed it. We just both knew. Where are we at now? We just took our first multifamily syndication across the finish line in December of 21. And the last part was, where do we hope to be?
Where'd you start? Where are you now? How'd you get there?
Oh, how did we get there? So we grew up in families invested in real estate. And then for multifamily, we got a coach.
Interesting. I love that. So you guys just closed your first deal. Walk me through the specifics of that one, because I think it's intriguing for people who are looking to scale how you got it done.
So it was a pretty tumultuous ride. So first suggestion to anyone is make sure you have your lender lined up before you do anything ever. We had lots of GP changes. There were, oh goodness, 7 various GPs. The final team had us with 3 additional. So I guess there were 10 total. The team that comes across the finish line, those me, my husband, plus 3 more. And just it can be crazy. It can be hard. And at the end of the day, it's like Dugan said, the only thing people remember is, did you close or not?
Yeah, that's interesting. What, when you say the word tumultuous, what would have been some things that you would do differently now that would make it not tumultuous?
Ooh, it goes back to making sure you have your lending lined up. We went through a ton of loan products. They didn't pan out. We didn't have enough experience, or we didn't have enough this, or we didn't have enough that. And it was just a whole line of things that made it not happen. We finally wound up getting a bridge loan at the very end. And I would just get your lending lined up and have your lending lined up before you do your webinar.
Was there one person who was responsible for lending that dropped the ball? Was this a team effort? That give me the mistake or the thing that you could do differently so that we can learn from it?
So I think what it was a small balance loan in a very small market. And only so much loan money is allocated to those kinds of loans. And I really think the bucket was just empty. And instead of saying the bucket was empty, they just kept giving us more and more requirements. So I don't know how to get around that other than, you know, don't ever sign an exclusive and shop around yourself. And if the seller is saying you have to use someone, find out why. And then just, I don't know. I mean, we wound up going with Lima One.
Okay.
And they got us closed in 28 days. It was a little more expensive. But as I said, we got closed in 28 days. So from approval to close, 28 days.
Right. So yeah. It can be done. It can be done. And that's impressive that they were able to pull that off. Sometimes the speed of money is worth more than the price of the money.
Yes.
So that's really intriguing. You said something to the effect of don't sign an exclusive. Can you walk us through that?
So in our situation, I don't think it would have mattered, but we got ourselves in a situation where one of our GP team members was like, "I have a lender." And so we were like, "Well, we signed an exclusive agreement." But she was like, "It's no big deal. We're going to go ahead and let's check this other guy out." Well, the original lender broker found out and things got kind of ugly. And so if you're going to try and shop a loan yourself, just don't have an exclusive in place because it gets ugly.
And it didn't sound like your broker was going to get it done anyway.
I don't know. I mean, eventually they did.
Oh, so eventually they were the ones that brought Lima One into the deal.
Actually, that was another phone call. So it was Lima One's terms were in a whole group of stuff that was sent to us, but we didn't know who Lima One was. We didn't know anything about them.
Sure.
On one of the days when the second, well, I guess it was right the day after the second team had kind of dissolved, Jason came home from work. I was still in bed because I was depressed. I was upset. And he's like, get up. We're going to make phone calls. And we made a list, and it was call number 16 to Agostino Pintus. And he was like, you're at Lima One. And I was like, I don't know what that means. But at that point, he just kind of took over and helped us get back on track, got us set up with Lima One. Or Julianne got us set up with Lima One, but he kind of like led us through, like, this is what happens. They're a little more expensive. This is who they are. And he just let us know who they were. And so we felt more safe about it and more secure about it. And he just got things back on track. And he is probably one of the number one reasons that the deal made it across the finish line.
That's awesome. Is there, what did you guys have to, you know, get extensions on?
Oh, we did. So maybe the number one reason why we stuck it out. So there was the number one reason the loan got back on track. The number one reason we stuck it out is we had $100,000 of our own money that went hard day one.
Right.
And then we had another 75 up on the extension. So we were 175,000 in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's motivation.
Oh, yeah.
What was the size of the deal?
72 units.
Okay. And what was the total purchase price?
$5 million.
$5 million. Okay. So you guys had the equity raised. You just didn't have the debt side done.
The equity was a whole nother ball game.
Okay.
I had never raised before. My husband had never raised before. We just kind of wanted to see what we could do. And turns out I probably wasn't smiling when I called because I was pretty beat down. And so once we got the third team coming on, we got like Frank Petalano and Gail McCarthy and my friend Mike. And Frank is amazing. And Frank, we were both middle school teachers, but that's how we've known each other for a long time. But he's really supportive. And I don't know what it is about what he says, but it pushes me, but not in a like forceful kind of way. Just kind of in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm going to beat him. And so it just changed the way I started talking to people, and it changed the way Jason started talking to people. And between Jason and I, we raised $823,000 in our first raise.
Good job. That's awesome.
So, yeah,
that's fantastic. Okay. So talk to me, you know, one of the things, and again, I'm sorry to pick your deal apart here, but I think, you know, sometimes these are the ones we learn the most from. So we can take this opportunity to learn from you, maybe we won't repeat the same mistakes, and you can save a lot of listeners the same heartache.
Yeah.
You know, because especially as you're starting out, that's the thrust of the show, is how to scale. Mm-hmm. How do you go to bigger assets? And you, it's just as important, I think, to have the guide along the way that says, hey, don't walk off the cliff. There's a cliff over there.
Yeah.
You know, if we can get into, you know, telling us where those potential pitfalls are, I think it'll be a very valuable conversation as we listen. So tell me about the term lots of GP changes. That sounds, from an investor's perspective and also from a member of the general partnership, disconcerting. How did you work through that, and what did that mean?
So when things got rocky, we had a different level of risk tolerance than the other members of the second GP team. We also had $100,000 on the line. And so we weren't willing to walk away from it, but it was scary. And the fear was that we were going to pour another 75, because each extension was 75, that we were going to keep pouring in and perhaps still not get the deal. And so we were talking to our mentor almost daily. We were talking to all of these people trying to get this thing moving. And it was one night during a team meeting that one of the GP team members said, I think the universe is telling us to run. And so the rest of the team ran. And that's what happened. So you just, as advice, you don't know what people's risk tolerances are until things go sideways.
Right.
And so I don't think there's any way to mitigate that other than to make sure that you don't have a group of a bunch of newbies on the team, even though you feel very close to them. And that was, I think that maybe that was where we went wrong. but the team was really strong and we worked really well together. We just had different risk tolerances. And so when that one was gone and we had to rework it, I went to Frank because I've known Frank for a long time. We're both teachers and we met face to face for the first time at BEC 2020. But we had been talking for a long time before that because he was listening to me at 1 or 2 in the morning. I say listening. He was reading my messages at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning when I was complaining about what was going on at school because he'd been there. And so we connected as teachers. So I called him. I'm like, hey, I know we asked you to be a part of the, you know, be a co-GP and one on the GP team. And he agreed and he came on and then we had a start. And so then I had talked to Gail a few days before and Gail was just like, you know, I just want to help you. And so I called her up and we asked her to be on the GP team. And then my friend Mike had never done it before and wanted the experience. And we have a good relationship. He has a special needs child. We have a special needs child. And so we brought him on. And this is the team that has made it work.
That's so really intriguing. Yeah. Would you say, when I listen to this story, I hear a lack of maybe one person being the head person on the general partnership. Is that a fair assessment or am I missing something?
No. So Jason and I's deal. We'd never done an active side deal before. And it felt like, and even up until just a few weeks ago, it felt like we were expected to lead the meetings. We were expected to like be the talkers and we don't know what we're doing. So it felt really uncomfortable. And so Mike, who also, he's a newbie, but is a PMP. We spoke to him one night. We're like, look, you've got the right words. You've got the training. Asset management is project management.
Right.
You're going to be way better at this than I am. And so he took on the meetings and it's been really awesome. And so he's getting that experience and we're getting to see how good meetings run. He just does things differently. Like halfway through, he'll just kind of low key be like, okay, you know, 30 minutes. And he just kind of puts it out there. This is where we're at in the meeting. And we've got an agenda and we just work through it. And it was really cool, even though he's a newbie. And then like Gil has lots of experience and Frank has experience and we have residential experience, but it's different than multifamily.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Did you guys bring a property manager on?
So we kept the property manager that was in place because it was already a stabilized property.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So we've been working with Wayner is on it and they've been really great. We love the regional and we hope to take down some more complexes here in town and scoot her into them.
Got it. Okay. Intriguing. So let's say you're going to start over. Now you're back in this market. I know you said that this is a market that maybe you've got to find a lender who has the capital available for, it sounds like you're in a submarket of maybe even a submarket. So, you know, capital available for some of these smaller markets. What are you going to do differently on the next one?
So already talking to a lender, getting that relationship going. And I thought I had that before. Again, I think it was a timing thing. I think it was the end of the year. I think the bucket was just empty.
Right.
And nobody would say that. That's the hardest part for me is I don't understand why nobody would say, hey, really, the bucket's empty. You're either going to have to wait till after the first of the year or do something different. If someone had just said that, I think the second team wouldn't have dissolved. And I think that we would have gotten the thing closed in probably November.
Yeah, that's really intriguing. And that's a head scratcher for me that I've seen one too many times where, you know, lenders are in the business of lending and they make money when they lend. And yet I've seen feet get dragged. Okay, they promise the moon, then not get the deal closed. And it's just like knowing your lender, I think it's a topic that comes up on this show a lot. And it's an unfortunate lesson that we all have to continue to learn. So I think if you're listening to this, maybe this is your take home. Know your lender before you get, you know, all the way before you're putting hard money down, know your lender, right? I mean, if you don't have experience with the lender, you better know somebody that has had experience with the lender. And, you know, finding those relationships, cultivating them and shopping that long before you get to, you know, accepted purchase and sale agreements and putting six figures down is, I think, a valuable lesson here today.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, though, that like every lender has amazing stories and not amazing stories. So it's how you mesh up personally, I think, really in the end. And I think maybe there might have been a few weird things going on behind the scenes. I mean, I don't know. It was just so odd, but what do I have to compare it against?
Right.
Nothing.
Right. How's the deal doing right now? What's the...
It's doing great. I'm not the numbers person, but my understanding is that we are actually performing better than we thought we would.
Okay. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Awesome. Angel, you've taken the time really to be very transparent with us today. And I can't thank you enough for that. That's, again, you know, it's these painful lessons, I think, where we learn from the mistakes of others. And you've taken the time today to really share with us out of the gate, you know, some of the things you guys didn't get right. Congrats on getting it across the finish line and having an asset that is performing better than projected. That's always a good first place to start. So well done on that front. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Probably through our website. It is www.theacademypresents.com, or you could probably get through to me on LinkedIn. I do answer all of my messages.
Fantastic. Angel Williams on LinkedIn. Angel, thank you for your time today. I certainly appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.